Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24. If you're not familiar with your Bible, Proverbs is roughly in the middle, right after the Psalms. So just keep going through the Psalms, eventually you'll come to Proverbs. Listen as I read our passage today. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. You know, just like all of God's Word, the Proverbs are a wonderful place to gain rich wisdom for living your Christian life. In fact, the Proverbs themselves were written for that express purpose. They're kind of like delectable Christmas treats, just dripping with high-calorie statements that are bulging with life-informing truth. Now you're all hungry, aren't you, again? The Proverbs are kind of that place to look to see how life works, kind of the mechanics of living, and that we might otherwise just kind of go over and misunderstand as we're living out our lives. And the Lord's made it really easy for us to receive this knowledge about life. He was so kind to include the Proverbs in the Bible for us. In fact, he included 31 chapters of Proverbs, and you could actually read one chapter a day and cycle through the whole thing 12 times a year. What a great endeavor that would be. Very helpful. By helping us this way, you can see that the Lord, he wants us to learn to walk with wisdom. Of course, he does, because he's our Father, and he wants to give his children the best gifts. So he gave us Proverbs. Proverbs themselves tell us in chapter 1 what they're all about. Listen to the Lord speak through their author, Proverbs author, King Solomon. And in chapter 1, it says that the Proverbs' purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help people understand the insights of the wise. The Proverbs' purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right and just and fair. These Proverbs will give us insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. He also says that let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, he says. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. One of the best things in God's kingdom is for us to gain life understanding by receiving the rich wisdom God has for us here in these sayings. In fact, wisdom herself, personified in the Proverbs, calls out to us. She shouts in the street. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate even. And she says, "How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded?" she says. How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? She cries out. Come, she invites us, to listen to her counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise, wisdom says. Tune your ears to wisdom, concentrate on understanding, search for them like silver and seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain the knowledge of God. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe, the Proverbs say. What a kind blessing our God has given us in these Proverbs. Today in Proverbs 24, our Father has given us the privilege of learning from someone else's destructive lifestyle. Isn't that a kindness? Someone else's destructive lifestyle learning so that we don't have to suffer the same plight as the person that we read about. He's gifting us wisdom to watch over our hearts and knowledge to fill us with joy, wise choices to watch over us, and understanding to keep us safe. So we need to listen. As this interesting year of 2020 comes to a close, and as we look on to the next year, each one of us is hoping for something better, right? And as seekers of God's wisdom, I believe this passage is helpful for us to reflect on our lives as Christians and in our responses to the difficult, weird circumstances we've been experiencing. It's easy to look outside of my life towards circumstances that are well beyond my control and wonder if a better year might have produced a better result in my life. Especially in my walk with the Lord. Maybe the reason I am the way I am is because things beyond my control have held me back from personal spiritual growth. If I just had better circumstances, maybe my Christian living would be what I always hoped it would be. But instead, it seems I've been derailed by things that are beyond my control. I'd like us to consider this morning our spiritual lives as a stewardship from the Lord. Today we're going to be considering our spiritual lives as an assigned stewardship from the Lord. A responsibility given to us by God to nurture and invest effort, kind of like garden plants or fields of crops. And we know, even if you're not a gardener, what happens if you neglect much-needed daily maintenance, don't we? Imagine going out into a weed patch and planting some zucchini seeds. But the weed patch is so overbearing and so unruly and so out of control that the zucchini can't even see the sun. So the fruit, the mountains of zucchini that we would be giving to everybody that we would normally get, we don't experience it in its abundance and in its fullness because it's greatly inhibited. It turns out that the fruit was an end benefit that was diminished or even lost because something else was neglected. Reflecting on this past year and considering our spiritual lives this morning, as a stewardship from the Lord and the center of our spiritual lives being quality fellowship or koinonia with the living God, we can learn from our passage this morning the important lesson that neglectful living produces undesirable results. Let's be convinced on the positive side of that same statement this morning that my diligent spiritual stewardship produces rich, fruitful abundance. My diligent spiritual stewardship produces rich, fruitful abundance. Even in 2020, even with hardships and scary circumstances like COVID or the societal changes that we've been living in as we respond, even facing rioting and the bewilderment of really strange things like people just firing their entire police departments, even when I don't even really know whether the news is fake or real, nevertheless, my diligent spiritual stewardship as a believing Christian in God's kingdom, day by day, my faithful stewardship to that spiritual life produces rich, fruitful abundance. Even in the face of all the world's craziness. Our sovereign God does not create circumstances that go against his purpose in bringing you to maturity. He's not crazy. Ephesians 4 says that his purpose is to bring the church comprised of each of us and others to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. It turns out God's not crazy. He's the good Father. But some of us respond to our circumstances as if he were crazy. Sometimes when it's hard, we check out and we do something else. We neglect time in the Word. We disappear from fellowship. We stop praying and start binge-watching TV. You know how I know this? Because I do it too. Yet the truth is, God brings about circumstances in order to bring us to completion as children in his glorious household. He does it because of that. In fact, in Romans 8, reminds us that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, to the saints of God. It's imperative for you and me to bank on the fact this morning that my diligent spiritual stewardship produces rich, fruitful abundance. When I become lazy and apathetic and neglectful and let my circumstances well overwhelm me as if they're outside of the real Christian experience, my sense of security is robbed from me. My spiritual poverty, it overtakes me, and my needs overwhelm me. Let's look closer and receive instruction from God's word. Look closer again at verse 30. It says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. Notice here in our passage this morning that the man has been blessed with a field. All good things come down from this good father who has adopted us into his family. Certainly a field, a big domain of stewardship that, if cultivated and cared for, will produce fruit. Certainly this is even a blessing from God, this field, a stewardship assigned by God, an instrument of his abundance, an avenue of his blessing. But look, this field and the accompanying vineyard are owned by a sluggard, a person of inactivity, a lazy person, a person who's totally checked out of his responsibilities, a person neglecting the stewardship assigned him and blessed to him by God, a sluggard, a man lacking sense. In fact, a man acting like a fool instead of investing toward good produce. Remember Paul telling the Corinthians, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. There's a spiritual labor involved with God's spiritual kingdom. A soul labor, a maintenance that each of us must be attentive to on a daily basis. And he expects our investment in this labor as he produces our spiritual growth. I'll tell you what, I get it. You and I, we lose our routine of koinonia with God. We neglect our devotional time in the Word. We check out a fellowship with other believers. We stop praying and we wake up and find our lives are out of control, unruly, and we thought we were just taking a rest. You know what, guys? A sluggard lives as if diligence were bondage instead of self-control. A sluggard looks at the diligent and said, that person's in laborious bondage, instead of the blessing of self-control. But remember the wisdom and instruction from this passage, that my diligent spiritual stewardship produces rich, fruitful abundance. But the sluggard, he checks out from his stewardship and he suffers harm. Even with us, our response to circumstances can sometimes check us out of diligent spiritual living. Look what happens to the sluggard's stewardship as we pass by his field. Verse 31. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. As a kid, I grew up in the country outside of Cusick, Washington. I spent a whole bunch of time outside down on Smalley Creek, which is a creek just down the hill from our house where I grew up. I'd be out there with my fishing pole and a huge box of night crawlers. And I'd spend hours and hours fishing down on that creek. Sometimes even I'd get in trouble because I didn't come back before dinner time. And my parents would go out and wander around wondering where the heck I was and call after me. But I could walk as far as I wanted upstream and as far as I wanted downstream. It's like I had total freedom to disappear into the woods and fish wherever I wanted. It was a boy's dream. It was so much fun, and it was so free. One thing I learned as a kid about creeksides, though, and you learn this real fast, is that there are a lot of thistles and nettles near the water, aren't there? And there's big holes where the fish are. And some of the best fishing holes were completely surrounded by thistles and nettles. And I'll tell you what, thistles hurt and nettles sting. In fact, both of them can leave a lasting negative impact on your skin, especially if you're a kid in a tank top and some cutoffs running around with your fishing pole. No one was assigned stewardship of removing thistles and nettles so I could get into those good fishing spots. That didn't happen there. So at times, I would avoid those good spots, and then I couldn't catch the bigger fish. By the way, these were big, beautiful brook trout. They were big fatties, and they were all swimming around in these big holes. But I didn't catch them because I didn't want to get poked or stung by a nettle. This sluggard here must have been really overwhelmed by the thought of dealing with his problem. His field was so overgrown with thistles and nettles, it seems like it would have been impossible to fix this problem, maybe he thought. Maybe he thought, my field is so far overgrown, it seems crazy to think I could ever regain control. What seemed like rest in the beginning has turned against me and prevented me from the real rest that I thought I was pursuing. There's even more to this self-created problem. Not only was this sluggard's field overgrown with thistles and nettles, but its stone wall was broken down. It seems that the security of the potential fruitfulness of this field was completely destroyed for lack of diligence. Anyone or anything could get in and pillage whatever was left in this field. And in fact, in our lives, as we neglect our spiritual stewardship, anyone or anything can seem to sneak in and hurt us with things like inappropriate assumptions that we develop about God, false doctrines from cults, and even, believe it or not, community leaders. You might even find yourself, as has been the case often and recently, siding against God's church, the church He is building. Next thing you know, you're so far away, you don't even see the path back. The thistles and the nettles are just too tall. You can't even see through them. So consider as well from our passage this morning that the longer I neglect my spiritual stewardship, the more impossible it seems to return. Remember, guys, my diligent spiritual stewardship produces rich, fruitful abundance. Can you imagine the sluggard? Maybe at some point he says, I'd sure like to eat some zucchini from that field that I used to tend. But I can't even get in there. It's completely overgrown. I'll just lay here. Listen to Proverbs 15:19. It says, the way of the lazy is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. What seemed so freeing and so restful turned out to be a restrictive hedge of thorns for our sluggard. He was trapped. He was trapped keeping me from that deep hole with those big fat brook trout. Trapped. We need to learn from our Father today, guys. Look at verse 32. He says, When I saw the field overgrown with thistles and nettles and the broken down wall, no way in, yet ironically it has no security. When I saw and reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. Man, we need to listen right now. When I look at this sluggard, the way he lives or the way he doesn't live, I reflected upon it. I meditated on it. I pondered it. I considered the multiple ways his life might be applied to my life. How can I change? I ask myself. How can I change? Not my neighbor. I wonder how his life might give me wisdom about how I should most fruitfully carry out my life. So I looked. I took a look at the situation he found himself in, and I heard a warning for me. And I received instruction. You know what, guys? A sluggard, it says in Proverbs 26, is wiser in his own mind or his own eyes than seven wise counselors. A sluggard knows everything. He doesn't need any instruction. In fact, a sluggard is offended by the notion that he might be instructed in any realm of spiritual understanding. But not us. Not the children of God, the children of this wonderful Father who kindly teaches us, children that are actually led by the Spirit of God, not us. Remember also from our passage today that wise living is humble and learns from its Father. It's actually foolish to despise or disregard wise teaching. What's the warning from our passage this morning? What is it that we need to take away as we consider our lives looking forward to 2021? Look again at verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. There is a diligence to the Christian life. It's all over Scripture. Ask, seek, knock, pursue, persevere, remember, do the deeds you did at first, repent, abide. There's an obvious diligence, but our passage is teaching us that relenting from these endeavors, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, the undesirable creeps in. And we don't want that. Poverty and want overtake us. Again, from verse 34, your poverty will come as a robber. Robbers, they study the situation and they closely watch patterns of behavior. They try to get in and out without anybody ever really knowing that they were there. Robbers are sneaky. Robbers who are pickpockets do the same thing. They rob you without you ever even knowing it. Next thing you know, you're broke. The safest time for a robber to come and plunder the house and rip everything off is when no one's home. The sluggard from our passage is living a life where no one's home, in a sense. Sleeping, slumbering, folding his hands across his belly, taking inappropriate rest, and without him even knowing it, while his eyes are drowsy and his thoughts are wandering, his poverty creeps in. It steals the abundance of riches he would have otherwise enjoyed through his diligence, the spiritual diligence that was actually ordained by God as appropriate. And he's plundered. The Proverbs 12 teaches us that diligence is man's precious possession. But when the sluggard folds his hands to rest, his need comes in like an armed man. And remember, his walls are broken down. His profound spiritual need finally startles him, as if at gunpoint even, and he finds himself without those things that used to sustain him. Another thought to remember from the sluggard is that neglecting our souls leads to spiritual poverty and profound loss. In the physical realm, I know we all hate to acknowledge this truth, especially after Christmas cookie, and thousands more cookies. Many of us have either ourselves or we've actually watched others. We've noticed that inactivity leads to immobility, right? If you do too much folding of your hands to rest, you find out that you can't move. If you don't keep moving physically, you won't be able to move physically. Yet wisdom calls out to each of us today, Proverbs 6:9, "How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? When will you exercise yourself unto godliness? When will you be attentive to your spiritual needs? When will you feed your soul with good, healthy food? How long will you ignore your spiritual destitution?" Wisdom cries. I want to be really careful to note here that Proverbs isn't promoting some sort of laborious, arduous, exhausting spiritual life. I'm not promoting self-help type Christianity that says try harder and feel terrible about yourself at all. I'm not saying that. Our gentle and lowly Savior himself calls us to come to him so we can find rest for our souls. In fact, Hebrews 4:11 teaches us to be diligent to enter that rest, to pursue spiritual activities that lead us into the restful koinonia with God that he's called each of us to enjoy. Yet, our sluggard, he's derailed. He's rolled off to the side of the football field. He's binge-watching other things. And his poverty and his want have overtaken him. Where are you today? How is your field? What's the condition of your vineyard? Does it seem overgrown with thistles and nettles? Is its wall broken down? Is it impossible to get in, yet at the same time it's open to anyone? Does the thought of regaining some sort of spiritual life seem so overwhelming that you can't even imagine it? What can you do? How can this reset that you so desperately need actually take place? Wisdom this morning would have us go and learn from a seemingly powerless worker, someone just like us. Consider the ant, wisdom says. Very small, seemingly insignificant. Someone who could easily be overwhelmed by a task with any real significance, only to do able to do a little work at a time, yet accomplishes amazing things in nature. A companion passage to ours in Proverbs 6 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest." The ant is a view of wisdom in the realm of our diligent spiritual endeavors this morning. Facing a huge field of thistles and nettles and a broken down wall, we can observe her ways and become wise. Think about it. She doesn't have a construction superintendent. She doesn't have an officer shouting commands, directing traffic, or a ruler setting any types of policies or strategies. She just grabs a fragment of food and starts walking back to the anthill, one trip at a time. Then she goes back and grabs another fragment of food and then walks it back to her anthill one trip at a time, day in, day out. She's not derailed by the size of the task. She doesn't even worry about that. In fact, thinking like that would throw her into some sort of a panic attack. She just takes a fragment and walks it over and puts it down. So she just settles in. She knows it'll happen. Her daily activities eventually add up to a winter's worth of food. Trip after trip, she knows if she methodically and faithfully puts one foot in front of another and goes about each day, not worrying about tomorrow, she'll have plenty. So she invests. Ingenious. My diligent stewardship, day by day, morsel by morsel, produces rich, fruitful abundance. Maybe today what we're learning from God is as simple as restoring meditative time in the Word, or re-entering Christian fellowship, rekindling your life of prayer to our great God. Just start. Be diligent today, like the ant, one methodical trip at a time. Get up, open your Bible, prayerfully read one chapter, one fragment of your winter's sustenance. Consider it. Receive spiritual instruction from the living Spirit of God through it. Dare to expect a rich, bountiful benefit, because you can. Then, maybe tomorrow, do it again. Maybe with a brother or sister. Come to church. Go to your home flock. Pray on your knees to Him who was so kind to save you. Again, how is your field today? What is the condition of your vineyard? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even own a field. Maybe you haven't yet trusted in the kind Savior Jesus. Maybe you fold your hands this morning thinking you have plenty of time to respond to the gospel. Yet maybe your poverty will surprise you. Maybe your eternal need of redemption will overtake you like an armed man. I wonder, did you know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost? Did you know that this Jesus that we celebrated the birth of 2 days ago came and lived a sinless, spotless life? And he went to a cross and died as a sacrifice, offering redemption through his blood to anyone who will cry out to him for salvation. And through repenting or turning off of the pathway that you're on today and turning to trust in his cleansing blood, you will be saved. That's a guarantee. If you're a person this morning that doesn't even own a field, I hope he drags you to the foot of the cross today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are so grateful for your kindness in teaching us by giving us this word that comes to life by the ministry of your Spirit in us. Lord, I pray that this consideration of this passage would continue to bear fruit in the lives of all the saints. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be diligent workers, looking forward to the fruitful, rich abundance from your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that your gospel offers to save all who will come to you. And I pray that there's someone here this morning who hasn't made that decision yet, but your Holy Spirit will not let them rest until you drag them to the cross and they cry out for forgiveness, Lord. We love you so much, Father, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, let's stand together and sing How Great Our Joy.